Yeah. Must be Friday. Yesterday was Thursday. Tomorrow is Saturday. Friday. That's right. I am Jim Rome. Welcome to the jungle. It is Friday. Yeah.
Yeah.
Program brought to you by Rocket Mortgage. Thank you, Alvy. Yeah. Can I get a yeah?
Yeah.
Rocket Mortgage is with you every step of the way to provide a seamless mortgage experience. What's going on? Welcome to the program. My name is Jim Rome. It is great to be with you today. Not because it's Friday. It's great to be with you every single day. Nice to have you here. All right, really good show going into the weekend. Let me ask, did you back it in? Did you denim up first? Are you ready to come strong on a Friday? Friday afternoon, Friday evening, happy hour, whatever you want to do on a Friday is much better if you come strong and you finish. Finish like a boss. Come and get some. Make this show better. I want you to be able to say at the end of the day, good show, dude.
Good show, dude.
I'm going to do my part. You do yours. I promise you, I will do my part. Now you do yours. Telephone number is toll-free. And I do not have an interview until 40 past hour number one, meaning you can get through right now. 1-800-636-8686. Do not wait on me. Just decide what you want to talk about, any of the action coming into the weekend. College, NFL, NBA, anything at all. Anything that happened last night, whatever you want. Come in here with a strong take. You've got the phone number. If you'd rather do it on Twitter, that's great. Follow me at Jim Rome. It's easy, at Jim Rome. Email me at Rome, R-O-M-E, haveatake.com. Rome at haveatake.com. Coming up at 40 past, an MLB network analyst and a former 14-year MLB vet, Carlos Peña, to break down the World Series. Can the Astros get right? They look nothing like themselves. And the Nationals look exactly the way they've looked for the last several months. So we'll talk to him at 40 past. Next hour, Packers cornerback Kevin King. Hour number three, 49ers D lineman D Ford. It's Friday. You know what that means? Well, other than yesterday was Thursday and tomorrow is Saturday.
Today's Friday.
It means the big head, Flight Deck, is here. Flight Deck's been doing better than me online of late. But we're going into the weekend, so we'll see. We're going ballistic.
We're going ballistic, man.
1-800-636-8686. All right, so I said to you, just grab a topic. Come on in here. Now, where am I going to start? I have a lot of different options. It is a busy Friday. A lot of different places where I could start. Thursday night football. Generally, that is where I start on Friday morning. NBA in full effect. The Clippers put a beatdown on Golden State last night. Game three of the World Series is tonight. I could start in any of these places, yet I'm going to start with the UFC. Yes, I am. UFC 244 is scheduled for November 2nd in Madison Square Garden. And it's a card that's going to feature Nate Diaz. My man, Nate Diaz and Jorge Masvidal. Fighting for the BMF. Now, there's nothing mythical about that belt. That is the most important belt. That's more important than the best fighter in the world, pound for pound. They're fighting for the BMF, baddest mother bleeper title. It was the fight that started with this call out back in August.
You think we'll be seeing you fighting regularly now?
The reason I was off is because everybody sucked. There's nobody to fight. But with this belt, I want to defend it against Jorge Masvidal. Had a good last fight. Good last fight. All respect to the man, but there ain't no gangsters in this game anymore. There ain't nobody who does it right but me and him. So I know my man's a gangster, but he ain't no West Coast gangster.
Man, this is why this is such an enormous Nate Diaz house. Such an enormous Nate Diaz house. This is why I'm such a huge Nate Diaz guy. Because there's nobody like him. Not in his sport, not in any sport. And as I always say, saying something sucks is not a take. Unless it's Nate Diaz saying that the reason he has not been fighting is because everybody else sucks. Then it's not only a take, it's one of the best takes ever. And he said, There's only a couple of gangsters left in this sport, but I'm the West Coast gangster. I mean, it's so good on every single level and such a good call out. So, the fight that we all need, the fight that we all want, the fight to determine the BMF is set. Or maybe it's not. It was set, and now it's on, or it's off, maybe, sort of. I mean, it's not like it's even clear, because there was an announcement made yesterday, that Nate Diaz had an issue with a drug test. Now, notice my wording right here. There has not been an announcement of a suspension, and as of last night, Diaz had not been provisionally suspended. And notice, I also did not say that the UFC announced or that USADA announced that Nate Diaz had failed a test. I didn't say that because it was Nate Diaz himself who announced the results of a drug test. And he announced it in a way that only Nate Diaz could. In other words, in a manner which was awesome. You see, we don't know how any athlete is going to react to a failed drug test. Actually, we do know. Because they always react the same way. We've seen it play out time and time again. There really are only a couple of different ways that athletes react to a failed drug test. There is the I didn't knowingly take, I would never cheat version. Or there is the blame a tainted substance version. It's not my fault. I just unknowingly ingested some tainted meat or a tainted supplement. It's usually one of those two ways, except not with Nate. Nate was not going there, especially since Nate is on record as being really outspoken against PEDs. And Nate is on record as being different than anybody else. So there was no way he was just going to say what everybody else always says in that situation. Nope. My man released a notes screenshot with the following statement, and it reads, I'm not going to make it out to NYC for fight week next week because they say I tested with elevated levels that they say might be for some tainted supplements. I call false on that because I only take whole food or natural food supplements. I don't even eat meat. End quote. All right, so there's an amazing start right there. I mean, I guess that's him announcing that there was a failed test, but he did it by saying, I'm not going to make it out to NYC for fight week next week. See, that doesn't sound like a guy who failed a test. That sounds like a guy who had to cancel his plans to come to your party. Yeah, you know, I'm not going to make it out. Sorry about that. My bad. Something just came up. Sorry, y'all. But have a great time. But see, that was just a casual start with just him walking to the ring because now he's about to let the hands go. He went on, and I quote, so, until UFC, USADA, or whoever is bleeping with me fixes it, I won't be competing. I'm not going to play their game or try to hide it or keep quiet as they suggested. I'm not going to have my name tainted as a cheater like these other mother bleepers who keep quiet until after the fight just so they can get paid. Bleeping cheaters. End quote. And replace any of the bleeps with F-bombs, because that's what he said. Let me translate that for you, though. One of you loser organizations has framed me, and I'm not going to fight until you mother bleepers come correct, own it, and straighten it out. Get your damn acts together and knock it off. And don't even think about suspending me. Too late, I'm suspending myself until you jerkweeds get it right. You're accusing me of cheating. You know who the hell I am? I don't even eat meat. The only thing I take is Whole Foods. I cheat. You know who the hell I am. I cheat. I cheat. Yeah, you bleeping cheat. I didn't fail a test. You faked it, you bleeping cheaters. Man, I love that Nate doesn't take drugs. He takes Whole Foods. What an amazing line. I don't take drugs. I take Whole Foods. Yeah, he takes Whole Foods, and I take In-N-Out. He takes Whole Foods, I take Mag's Donuts. But this isn't about me, it's about the legend. And that legend is dropping some serious hammer fists now, especially when he says, quote, they suggested, end quote, that he keep quiet until after the fight. Now, I don't know who they is, and I don't know if they really suggested that, but I know Nate is pissed. And now Nate is looking to go for the finish. Quote, I don't give a bleep about some money over my dignity and my legacy. I'm not playing along with this bull bleep. I'm not staying quiet and figuring it out after the fight. That's cheating. So fight game, I'll see you when I see you. Sincerely, the realest, baddest mother bleeper in the game. End quote. Man, the only thing better than him signing his statement with, quote, the realest, baddest mother bleeper in the game is that he included a fist emoji at the end of it. And the only thing better than that is the fact that he tweeted out the screenshot with the caption, quote, you're all on steroids, not me. I mean, he is so awesome. There are multiple ways for people to respond to failed drug tests. It wasn't me. It was a tainted supplement. I didn't knowingly do this. But nobody ever responded to a failed drug test by saying, you're all on roids, not me. You're all on steroids, not me. That is the best. I didn't fail a test. You all failed a test. You failed a test for honesty. Bleep you. I'm going to give myself a one-year suspension. You know what? I might roll that into a career-ending suspension if you a-holes don't pull your heads out. Oh, I just appealed my own suspension of myself. And that appeal was denied. Now I have a two-year suspension. And best of all, well, not best of all because Nate is best of all, but Jorge Masvidal is pissed. Not at Nate, but he's pissed that the fight may not come off and he's not having it. In fact, he's got Nate's back. He tweeted, quote, you not the baddest mofo in the game. I am. But you are one of the cleanest mofos. Nate, I'll see you November 2nd. I know your name is clean. I don't need USADA to tell me bleep. Say, he's not accepting it either. I don't need USADA to tell me bleep is a great ending to a tweet. And he was not alone. Masvidal was not alone. One fighter after another jumped on Twitter to say they would fight if Nate can't or Nate won't. And you know, if guys are tweeting about a failed drug test, it was only a matter of time before John Jones came flying in. And Jones somehow made it all about himself. Jones retweeted Nate's statement with, quote, and just like that, years of hard work discredited overnight with one phone call, end quote. And then Jones chased it with, quote, not many people in the world know what you're feeling right now. I do. Keep your head up, man. I knew I was innocent and was willing to spend hundreds of thousands of dollars and countless hours with scientists and lawyers to prove it. I know you feel like someone is setting you up. That's exactly how I felt. At times, it's going to feel like a pretty hopeless situation, but maybe it's not. You can't just give up and do nothing. This is a different type of fight, man. You owe it to your fans to fight. End quote. Yeah, John, thanks. Thanks a lot for that, John. Except no one was looking for your opinion on this, John. Or really any opinion at all on anything. Especially your opinion on drugs, John. Unless it's how to take them. And stop making this about you, John. Only John Jones would see Nate Diaz possibly getting jammed and somehow try to use it to say, see, I didn't do it. When he almost assuredly did do it. Jones, I mean. So now we play the waiting game. The fight is still a week away. The fight is still on. Except that does not mean Nate is going to show up. Because Nate's not going to show up to fight for you bleeping cheaters. Remember, you're all on roids, not him. Man, I just hope Nate changes his mind. I hope that Nate changes his mind and enters the octagon because Jim Rome needs to see who really is the baddest mother bleeper. A West Coast gangster or an East Coast gangster? You think you can handle Jorge? You tell me, does this sound like a guy on roids? That sounds 100% natural to me, USADA. You want some? Jorge, you're a badass. I know it, man. You scare me. You scare everybody. But you don't scare Nate. You know why? Because Nate can do this. Come on, Nate. Listen, Nate, I know your integrity is not for sale. I know your legacy is not for sale. Nate, think of the rest of us, if not yourself, or your legacy, or your dignity. Think of this, Nate. You can't get out. You cannot get that out of a bottle. You think you can pull this out of a bottle? No chance. Come on, Nate. Man, I love it. Can you tell? I love Nate Diaz. So much so that I'm going to start a Friday. Not with the NBA, not with the NFL, not with college football, not with the NHL, not even with the World Series. I'm going to start Friday with a... I was thinking back to yesterday when this all went down. Man, what must be going through Dana White's head? Dana White, like me, loves Nate Diaz, but unlike me, has to do business with Nate Diaz. I asked Dana what that was like when he was in studio recently.
Dealing with Nate personally is great. You know, I say this all the time about, you know, Nate is like this guy. What people love about him is like he's saying F you to the man all the time, right? But he never really says F you to the man. He never really does. When you meet Nate, Nate's a great guy. I've always had a great relationship with the kid. Business-wise, he's an absolute nightmare.
How so?
I saw an interview with him that he did with ESPN the other day where he's saying he's never turned down a fight. Let me just explain something to you and the fans. By contract, I owe every fighter on my roster 3 fights a year. If I do not, you know, get them a fight, 3 fights in a 1-year period, I owe them. I have to pay them. I've never paid them. I've never paid Nate Diaz to not fight.
To not fight.
So it's never happened. So there's the facts, right? So when he says he doesn't turn down fights, of course you turn down fights. Or I'd be paying you a ton of money every year to not fight.
I bet if Nate were here, what Nate would say to that is, oh yeah? How about you get some of this? Would you like some of this? He's the best. All right, so where do you come out? Do you think Nate's going to be there? Now again, he has not been provisionally suspended. Nate's whole point is, even if I'm not suspended, it doesn't mean I'm showing up. Not until you cheaters and you Reuters come correct. Carlos Pena coming up in about 20 minutes. Not only did I lead with the UFC and MMA, and I went heavy, heavy into that first break. When it comes to keeping your small business's valuable information safe, Dell Small Business Technology Advisors can recommend tailored security solutions like servers, like storage, networking, and right now, get up to 45% off select business computers with Intel Core processors. Running your own small business is a big challenge, but with the right partner, it is a whole lot easier. To speak with an advisor today, you want to call 877-BY-DELL. That's 877-BY-DELL. One more time, 877 by Dell.
You're listening to the Jim Rome Show.
Look, I got to change up on you. You know that on this show we're going to talk MMA. What's up, Fight Deck? James Kelly with the giant dome in the house. Just talking about that matchup tonight. The Astros, Nationals. The Astros do not look like the Astros. The Nationals do look like the Nationals. Houston's saying, look, nobody likes being in this spot, but we're not going to panic. AJ Hinch said we got an entire clubhouse full of all-stars. We'll be fine. We've won it all before. What do you think is going to happen? Zach Greinke has not looked like Zach Greinke. Then again, the Astros bats have not looked anything like the Astros bats. And the Nats just keep getting better and stronger and more confident, and they're going back home. But Houston does have the heart of a champion. They've got their backs to the wall. How do you think that plays out? Carlos Pena joins me next segment, and we will get into that. What I start to say is, though, we're going to talk MMA, UFC on this show, always. Nate Diaz, to me, is one of the more compelling athletes in any sport. And as I mentioned, anytime somebody tests positive for a drug, look at the NBA as an example. DeAndre Ayton. I didn't know. I'm really sorry I let everybody down. I didn't know I did that. Everybody says this. I've never knowingly ingested a drug. I've never knowingly done this. Or I got tainted meat. It's always one of two things. It's not what Nate did. That's why I led the show with Nate Diaz. One, big Nate Diaz house. Two, I'm all about UFC MMA. Three, You never hear a guy respond like that. But I've got a lot more to talk about, including the Clippers and that beatdown they put on Golden State last night. Also, Thursday Night Football. That is not what I expected. We've come to expect Thursday Night Football to be horrible. It just is, right? There's not enough time for the players to recover, react, and get ready on a short week. So we know what we're going to get when we tune in. Except last night, I thought what I was going to get was one of the worst teams ever and a bona fide Super Bowl contender. I didn't get either one of those things. So that really disappointed me. And my disappointment has got nothing to do with the fact that the Vikings did not cover. Nothing to do with that. This tweet is from at Hitman Canadian. We can tolerate tainted meat, but definitely not tainted love. Signed, Soft Cell. Got to bring back the jukebox. I keep saying I will. Berg in Green Bay tweets, Nate, just tell them it wasn't me. Signed, Shaggy.
She even caught me on camera.
Wasn't me.
She saw the marks on my shoulder.
Wasn't me.
Heard the words that I told her.
Again, I love the way Nate just turned the tables on everybody. What Nate's saying is, not only did I do it, but I'm not sure I want to fight now. Not if y'all are trying to frame me. Not if you're making up things about me. My integrity is not for sale. My legacy is not for sale. You know, he's made it pretty clear, too. He doesn't have to fight. He took a lot of time off. And he's suggesting that they told him, man, just don't say anything. Just stay down until after the fight. He's like, no, I'm not doing that. I've got nothing to hide. I didn't cheat. You all cheat. So, again, the key here is he has not been provisionally suspended. This is a really important fight. Like, I was really, really looking forward to this fight. I really want this fight to happen. Nate knows that. Nate's saying, even if I'm not suspended, I'm not sure I'm showing up. Not till you all come correct. Sounds like he wants his good name cleared. Sounds like he's waiting on an apology that may or may not come. When we come back, the telephone number, by the way, is toll-free. 1-800-636-8686. Use it. 1-800-636-8686. We get into the World Series. When we return, a former 14-year MLB vet and an MLB Network analyst, Carlos Pena, joins us to break it down. And remember, since it's Friday, I've got an ATP, too. Ask the Pros, brought to you by O'Reilly Auto Parts. So go to CBSSportsRadio.com/AskThePros. I will answer one of your questions before the end of the program. And think O'Reilly Auto Parts for all of your car care needs. Get guaranteed low prices. Excellent customer service at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Better parts, better prices every day. And here is your sports update. Hosted by...
Live from Southern California, this is the Jim Rome Show on CBS Sports Radio.
Welcome back. Game 3 of the World Series. Moving to the district, we are efforting Carlos Pena. I will have him momentarily. All right, so again, let me set it up for you. You have your telephone number, 1-800-636-8686. Golden State christened their new building. Beautiful edifice, dream building, sparkling, awesome, hammered. Clippers come in and jack them up. And Steve Kerr was making the point that if you think that it's just 1 of 82 and that'll happen, not a big deal, his point was, yeah, I'm not so sure. This might be our new normal. That might not be a one-off. In fact, that's not a one-off. This is our new reality. That the last 5 years were not really real at all. This is our new reality. Look, we understood that they were not going to look the same. They were not going to be the same. They were going to be without certain guys. They lost certain guys. But did you expect them to open up a new building like that and have the Clippers come in and jump on them the way they did and beat them down? I'm not sure I expected that. In fact, I know I didn't expect that. Not to that extent. I will cover that a little bit later on. I do want to get into Thursday Night Football. Again, not that I really ever have huge expectations but I had higher expectations than I did, or than what I saw last night. The XFL is back and not off to a very good start. Taco Fall, see what happened to him? He's in the protocol. One thing to be in the protocol, another to end up in the protocol like that. At Mock Moda tweets, damn, Rome. Nate, spitting fire. Maybe a What's Your Whole Foods segment needs to be added to the jungle. I'm not on drugs. I'm on Whole Foods. Nate is another big plant-based guy. He said it himself. He tested positive. How? For what? I don't even eat meat. All right, we're joined right now by a 14-year MLB vet. He was an all-star, a gold glove winner, a silver slugger, an AL home run champ, an AL comeback player of the year award winner in 2007. MLB Network is going to have live coverage before and after every single World Series game, including today beginning at 3 p.m. live from Nationals Park. We are joined by Carlos Pena. Carlos, good to have you on. How are you?
Jim, doing great, man. Thanks for having me.
Carlos, great to have you. Listen, before I talk to you about the World Series right now, can I get you to go back to 2008? You went to the World Series with the Rays against the Phillies. What do you remember, Carlos, about taking or about preparing and playing in your first World Series game? I mean, can you convince yourself it's just another game, or is that just impossible?
Absolutely not. It is virtually impossible to try to fool yourself into thinking that it's just another regular season game. But that is precisely what you try to do. And at times, I believe, now looking back, that the best thing to do is to just to realize, look, the stakes are high, period. And then go out there and play the game. Sometimes just kind of ignoring the elephant in the room is the wrong approach. Go ahead and address it. Understand that there's, you know, for example, for the Astros, hey, our backs are against the wall. There's no secret. You address it, and then you go play the game. Otherwise, you're just trying to kind of like put something aside that is so obvious in your subconscious mind. Come on, address it and go. So one of the things that I think I could have done better was precisely that, you know. But what a time, the time of my life, the postseason in 2008, the whole year, and going to the World Series. But preparation is key. You're right, Jim.
Carlos Pena joining us. Yes, I wonder that. I mean, the approach and the way you laid that out is really interesting. You lost in five games, but, Carlos, four of the five games were either two-run or one-run games. So when you're in the midst of something like that, how much pressure are you feeling throughout the game?
Oh, the pressure is real. The pressure is real. And for us, you know, as you just stated, man, it was a tough World Series. And I'm gonna give you this insight. You know, the first couple of games, I had a great postseason all the way until the World Series. And then the first few games, Jim, I just couldn't hit water even if I fell out of a boat.
Huh.
And that is why it is so important for every single hitter out there to go up to the plate with a plan. You cannot just go to the plate saying, I'm just going to see the ball and hit it, especially when you're facing guys like Gerrit Cole, like Verlander, like Scherzer, like Strasburg. If you go out there and you're just in the middle of everything, late on the fastball, early on the off-speed, trying to hope that they bring something that you can handle, it's going to be a long night. And obviously the Nationals have done a pretty good job of coming up to the plate with a pretty solid plan, and they have pretty much stabbed the, you know, the Astros with two games deep in the heart of Texas, right? So they're doing it right.
We're talking to Carlos Pena. So, Carlos, what about the Astros? They look nothing like themselves offensively, nothing like they look like in the regular season. Is it just a function of them facing better pitching in the postseason, or in your opinion, might it be something else that's happening?
Yes, I think it's a combination of both things. Look, Scherzer, Strasburg, these guys are legit, okay? Now, mind you, they were not at their best, and I'm not talking about stuff here. All right, I'm talking about the way they strategized. Their sequencing was not optimal. But the Astros hitters were not at their best either. You know what I mean? So that's a combination of both things. Yes, these guys are pretty good, but at the same time, the Astros do not look sharp. They look uncomfortable at the plate. It looked overmatched, especially that last game. So they have to, like I mentioned earlier, Jim, they have to come up with a plan. They cannot be out there just in between everything, seeing the ball and hitting it. You have to go up there with a solid, single-minded approach. And that's the way, 1 through 9, to give yourself an opportunity to get good swing on the baseball. And that's what I'm going to be looking at tonight. You know, Aníbal Sánchez is not a Scherzer, but still, he's been outstanding this postseason. So I'm looking for single-mindedness. That's what I'm looking from Astros hitters tonight.
Carlos Pena joining us, MLB Network analyst, a 14-year MLB vet. Now, you've been around the game a long time, obviously. You've covered the game as an analyst for a number of years. You've talked in the past about all the young stars that are in the game right now. But, Carlos, how do you explain Juan Soto showing up the way he has with all that poise, all that confidence, all that swagger at just 20 years of age?
Jim, it's ridiculous. I mean, he just turned 21 today, and it's amazing to see how mature he is at the plate. I mean, beyond his years. It took years for me to understand the strike zone, to come up with good approach at the plate. I remember Eric Chavez coming up to me and saying, you know, what's your plan at the plate? I'm like, I don't have a plan. I just see the ball and hit it. You know, I'm that good. You know, and that was so naive of me at the moment. But, you know, Soto, on the other hand, is a kid that understands he's incredibly skillful. But at the same time, what does he do? He sets himself up for success with the right strategy, setting parameters up there. I'm pretty sure you heard about how Kevin Long said, you know what, Soto's going to get a high fastball, and he's going to drill it tonight. Why? I mean, he just gave us a hint at the plan that Soto had at the plate. I know I'm going to get elevated fastballs from Cole, and I am going to be on them. And he hit that home run to left center field that still hasn't landed yet. And, you know, I think it's the longest one ever by a left-handed hitter the opposite way in Minute Maid Park. Ridiculous, but it's about the planning. That's maturity beyond his years, Jim. That's so impressive. This kid is the real deal. And one more thing that's important, blue collar, man. This guy's not messing around. This guy's a hard worker every single day. Shows up to the park trying to put in the work and prepare.
Carlos Pena, my guest. I'm glad you mentioned Eric Chavez. I love Chavi. Chavi was great to watch, great to talk to. Carlos, one more thing about Soto. He obviously has a plan, as you point out, but what about just physically the way he sets up in the batter's box? It's amazing to watch. What's going through your mind as you watch him set up the way he does in the batter's box?
You see that the way he turns in that right foot, you know,
right,
kind of
right.
Like coiling in and pretty much distributing his weight, mostly into the back, in his back foot, his back leg. He keeps his weight back there. And I don't know if you've noticed him, but when he gets to 2 strikes, he widens out even more and eliminates his stride. So he's able to do that. And he will also do that if he feels kind of uncomfortable, cannot pick the pitcher up. Maybe he's getting a little bit beat, like he's not timing the pitchers well. He will eliminate the leg kick. And all of a sudden, he just kind of lifts his heel and goes from there. And it's so strong. Do you see how he utilizes that midsection, the core? It's not a handsy swing. There's some hitters that utilize the whippage, you know, the whip of their hands. But for him, it's more about utilizing that core muscles that just really makes him have that much power, a lot of torque when he hits the baseball. There was a long drive that he hit off the wall of the, you know, right before the coffer boxes over there in Minute Maid, that I was like, are you serious? That ball came off the bat like a cannonball, and it stayed low, and it just kept on rising like a 3-iron, really, on a just going into the fairway. Just an amazing, amazing talent, really exciting player to watch. And my favorite part is this. He is blue collar, like I said earlier. That's what I like. He's all about his business. Great personality, but when he gets to the park, it's like, okay, all business. Let's get this done. That speaks to his consistency, and it also gives me a hint at the fact that he will continue. You know, longevity is going to be there as far as maintaining that success throughout his career.
And he's 21. Carlos Pena joining me for a couple more moments. You know, Carlos, if I were to go back, and you talked about when you were growing up, your guy was George Bell. George Bell was the guy who first made you want to be a major league player, man. He was such a great player and such a great hitter. What was it about that guy in that game, his game, that appealed to you so much?
Man, I just always said the home runs, Jim. You know, I love placatas. You know, that's my thing, man. When you go placata, that is the most fun on the field, and that's what I miss the most, by the way, from playing baseball. But I'll tell you this: when I saw him first, and I saw him go deep and hit a home run and go around the bases, and the crowd is going crazy, and you know, he wins the MVP in '87, and all of a sudden I said, I want to do that. That was it. I want to do that. And that was the first time my parents tell me that I mentioned that I wanted to be a Major League Baseball player. But this is funny. They called him George Bell. So I'm like, that name is really cool. Mine is not. Mine is Carlos. So, Jim, for a long time, I changed my name to Charlie. And I would make everyone call me Charlie Pena.
That's perfect.
You know, which is hilarious to me now that I think back. I of course, dropped that later. I thought it was pretty silly, but now I'm Carlos Pena, and I think I did okay with it.
That is really a funny story. Really funny story. Carlos, really quickly before you go, I got about a minute. You also played with my guy Eric Burns in the Dominican Winter League back in the day. What was Burnsy like back then? What do you remember about those days?
Oh, Burnsy was so intense. Let me tell you something about Eric Burns. Eric Burns is genuine. This kid, from the moment I met him, he was 24 years old, okay? And he was the same guy. He still is the same guy. Played with him with the A's. And now I'm working here at the network with him. Same dude. Solid all the way through. Always intense. It is not an act what you see on television. It is not an act. That's the way he is when we're prepping for shows. You know, when we're in the office together, because we share an office. Eric is one of my best friends, really. And it's been a pleasure. We were talking about this just a couple days ago, Jim. We're like, do you realize how amazing this is? We played for the Licey Tigers, Los Tigres del Licey in Dominican Republic, won the league 20 years ago. Huh. And here we are, still teammates, working for the MLB Network. Do you understand how special that is? And he looked at me and he goes, dude, that's majestic. And that's the exact word that he used. I'm like, yes, it is. It is majestic. Just a great dude, Jim. And I'm grateful to have him. Not only as a teammate, not only as a co-worker, but just as a friend.
Carlos, that is so great. It's like you have the perspective and the perception to say, do you know how lucky, do you know how fortunate we are? And he says, no, dude, that is actually majestic. That is a very Eric Burns thing to say. 14-year MLB vet, an all-star, a gold glove winner, a silver slugger, an AL home run champ. And remember, MLB Network is going to have live coverage before and after every World Series game, including today, beginning at 3 p.m. live from Nationals Park. Carlos Pena, our guest. Carlos, great to have you on the show. I enjoyed that very much, man. Great to have you. Thanks so much. Let's do it again.
Jim, thank you. Thank you for having me, man.
That was fun, Carlos. Good job. Appreciate you very much. Carlos Pena. Great breakdown. Got even like old school guys like that, guys who played the game for a long time, had a lot of success. Like everybody is in awe of Juan Soto. And how can you not be? All right, so game three. He said the Astros have got to have a better plan. A better plan at the plate that they do not look very comfortable and they've got to get right now. I also liked his point about there's no use ignoring the elephant in the room. It's not just another game. And they've got their backs to the wall. Nice, Alvin. All right, so we start hour number two. Open phones to start hour number two. 1-800-636-8686. Stay tuned.